Welcome to PR After Hours, your twice weekly cocktail of business, PR, and marketing tips hosted by me, Alex Greenwood. Every week, we bring you virtual happy hours featuring business advice from entrepreneurs and leading thinkers in PR, marketing, and business. We're going to get started in just a moment, so stick with us. Okay, who has a podcast then writes an ebook about podcasting and doesn't do an audiobook version of it? Well, not me. I've done that. In fact, I'm very excited to tell you, dear listeners, that the podcast option, my recent top-selling ebook on podcasting, my journey through 15 years as a podcaster, broadcaster, host, guest, and observer, is now an Audible audiobook. It's really, really, really exciting for me to be able to present this to you through Audible, which is available on Amazon.com, where the ebook link is as well. And in this fast listen, my experience comes to you through stories, practical tips, and advice from my hundreds of hours as a guest, producer, podcast host, and more. And the podcast option, if I say so myself, is mandatory listening for those new to podcasting, and it should be a welcome addition to veteran podcasters' library. So check out the podcast option read by yours truly, Alex Greenwood, or as they say there, J. Alexander Greenwood, because that's my pen name, and that's a long story, which if you dig through my podcast, eventually you'll find out what that means. But the point being today, the podcast option is available now as an Audible audiobook. I've got a link in the show notes to make it easy for you. Please do me a favor, go get that audiobook, or if audiobooks aren't your bag, there's also a link for you to get it as an ebook. Again, the podcast option. I certainly hope you will choose it. Well, if you've listened to more than one episode of this show, you know that creativity is a huge topic with me. In fact, I do a whole other podcast about creativity and writing and all sorts of things in those along those lines. But today, I specifically want to speak to you, particularly you PR and marketing folks out there, about keeping it real with your creativity. And, you know, I had a boss once. This is kind of an off-topic story, but here I'm going to make it part of the story. She said to me once that she needed something. I was on staff as executive director. I was the comms director. And she says, Alex, just go use your creativity and make something happen with that. You know, so I went back to my office and I playfully opened my desk drawer and took out my creativity and made things happen. But you know, it's not that simple, is it? Well, that's why I'm excited at our guest today. I'm so excited to have Jonathan Narby here. He's the founder and CEO of MindMeld PR in Vancouver. He and his team work to get publicity and public awareness, et cetera, for people in the tech industry and those businesses. So Jonathan, I'd love to hear about creativity. Welcome to the virtual lounge.
So good to be here. Thank you so much, Alex.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, this is going to be a fun topic. I think so.
Well, I was going to ask you, I guess we can make this a short episode. You just go to your office and open the drawer and pull out the creativity, don't you? Isn't that how you do it?
Yes. So that's it. No. You know, it's really funny. Your story brought me back to my very first day on my very first marketing job. This is well over 15 years ago. And I remember going into that company. I was hired as a blog writer because back then, it was kind of a thing, kind of a cool, different thing to have a blog. And oh, I must know a lot about social, you know, online, building an online presence. And, you know, and I had a journalism background. So, you know, even back then, I was a pretty fine writer. I remember the first day, and I thought, what am I going to do? The first thing I need to do to get some ideas about, you know, what we need to, you know, what kind of content we need to create, what kind of stories we need to tell. Well, I need to find out about the company, because, you know, before I write word one, you know, what's our mission? What do we do for our clients? What's our value? You know, so I gotta do some research here. I can't just think through the problem. I don't have any data.
Right.
So I'm talking to the person who is my direct supervisor on my first day, and I'm like, okay, so what do you think I should, you know, where I'm looking at our website. There's not much there actually. I want to talk to one of the people on staff here and, interview them and get the info that way. Cause before I can come up with any ideas, I'm going to have to do that research, let the research do the work. So of course she tells me, well, no, you can't talk to them. You can't talk to the people who provide services to our clients because, they're billed out at hundreds of dollars an hour. So that's not going to fly. So I can't take them away. Okay, great. Can I talk to the CEO right now? And you know, it's my first day. I need something to do. And, you know, maybe he'll, you know, have some broad, you know, vision statement and maybe some thoughts. No, he's not available till Friday. Okay. I'll check it. I go to the website and again, you know, not much there, which is kind of the reason they hired me. And I'm like, what do you recommend? You know, can we talk? No, I have no time. Go to our competitors and find out, look at their websites and get some ideas and then just start writing. And, of course I literally didn't quite know what the company did. I had a broad idea, but you know, getting down to this is quite technical services. So it's like, I don't even know who the competitors are. Anyways, that was a tough week. I'll tell you that.
That was a tough week.
Now, ideally the approach, when you're trying to come up with new ideas, and we come up, you know, MindMLPR, we're coming up with new ideas all the time for our clients, because we can't just, you know, put up one press release in, let's say, a month, or, you know, one way to do things in you know, to one group of reporters, and it's all the same. No, like, we got to hit things on multiple fronts. So we need good ideas, big ideas all the time.
Right.
And by the way, this is a bit of a segue, or a bit of a tangent just for a moment. Creative people don't necessarily have, percentage wise more, they don't have a greater percentage of good ideas than non-creative people. They just have more ideas, period.
Yeah.
So, and if you've got 100 ideas instead of 10 ideas, and well, you know, proportionately, you're going to have more good ideas in there, just as long as you can disregard the bad ideas. How do we get to the good ideas? Like I said, let the research do the work. So you're going to have to talk to people, interview them, check out what's available online. Don't just use the very first reference you've got. Like, you know, people are very tempted to just go to Wikipedia and it's like, oh, yeah, well, this is the way it is written and thus it is. You've got to do, you know, really check that, you know, everything's checking out. And that is the way to, once you've got a good understanding of your subject matter, you can think deeply on it. And then the next part of the process, is, which I think a lot of managers and maybe some bosses out there might not appreciate as much, is you've got to go away from it, do something else. And I don't mean do something else like, oh, I'm going to work on my, admin. I'm going to, work on spreadsheets and stuff. Like, I'm going to do something that is going to take up a large part of my brain. And then I'll come up. No, you really do have to go for a walk, grab a coffee, just sort of get away from the work for a moment. And then your brain does this amazing thing. A lot of people don't recognize this. You're not the thinker of your own thoughts. You do not come up with stuff. You're mysterious machine back here. That's what's, you've fed it in there, but you never quite know what's going to pop out. If you've prepared it correctly, it will do the work for you. And if you have the proper categories in your head of, what am I supposed to be thinking of? I understand the solutions, or I understand the problems, I understand the solutions, I understand the dynamics, how different things connect to this. Go away from it, come back, and start writing stuff down, and your brain is just gonna take over. It will, you know, words will pop out onto the screen.
I've experienced this, and you know, two things. First of all, we have a similar background. That's the way I approach everything as a former reporter. I need data, I need information, and I find when I interview people, of course, you have to be careful with that word. Particularly in an agency environment, I think, or even a client environment, that makes people a little nervous. But I always frame it as, can I have a chat with you? I'd love to talk about what you do and how you do it here at the org, right? And that seems to work for me. But I'm always reliant upon my reporter's training. I was a reporter terribly long. I've been a PR guy much longer than I was a reporter, but I still fall back on that. I love that. And the other thing too, as I mentioned previously, I do another show that focuses a lot on creativity. And I interviewed a gentleman last year who is a product developer. He creates, well, you're in tech, so you kind of, I'm sure you know the product development types in tech, but he actually created items that are used in back of house for restaurants and things like that. And he has to get up from his desk and walk around a little bit. And he even likes to go outside on a temperate day, take his shoes off and feel his toes in the grass while he just thinks. And he said, I very rarely have a supervisor who doesn't think that's some kind of goal breaking. But the guy's got patents, he's done very good work. And if I were his supervisor, I'd leave him alone.
Absolutely. Ultimately, it's about, you know, the results of, well, is the process generating ideas, useful ideas, actionable ideas? You know, you think back to, I'm sure, you know, a lot of PR people and marketing people like myself are fans of the Mad Men show. And like half the time when Don Draper's in that office, where is he? He's on the couch staring at the ceiling. He's either napping or, you know, waking up from a nap. You know, just sort of thinking deeply on that couch, and that's part of the process. In fact, there's another scene in that show. There's an annoyed client who's getting a tour of the agency, and he's like, "What the hell?" He sees a copywriter throwing a paper airplane, and it's like, "This is a madhouse. What's going on?" And Don says, "Look, you have to let them be unproductive in order to be productive," or something to that effect.
Right.
Now, again, that's a bit, a lot of managers, bosses, thinking, you know, time is money. That's very fair. Again, at the same time, it comes down to, is the process delivering the results you want? Great. Then it doesn't matter that this person took a 15 minute walk around the office or around the block or whatever. Like, they're getting, that's part of the work. The thinking is, you know, you're not hiring monkeys.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's that same mentality too about, I think about remote work. There's an old school mentality that you may be working from home, but you damn well better not get up from that desk unless it's your lunchtime or you have to use the restroom. And it's so counterproductive. And I don't care really what line of work you're in. If you want to encourage people, because what you need to allow people the freedom. I'm not saying to go disrupt people other people are working, go over there and bother them or things like that. But I think this mentality of clock in, clock out, and you better look busy, that kind of thing. It is counterproductive. And I assume you found that out firsthand with MindMeld.
Absolutely. So, yeah. And I think that kind of covers it is, you know, that is part of our process. Beyond the process of deep research, thinking about it, letting it go, coming back, letting your brain do its thing. There's other parts to it, but I also wanted to touch on something that maybe a lot of, not just marketers, PR people, but, people who just, there's a lot of smart people out there who are doing things very differently than our ancestors did, and not necessarily in a good way. It defeats creativity. And the thing I'm talking about is, some of the best ideas come when you combine different stratum, different you know, groups of information that are not ordinarily connected. So in the modern world, we have all this knowledge that is in your pocket. You have all the world's knowledge in your pocket. That's an amazing thing. And of course, we have so much data. We have so much knowledge that, of course, we've had to, in order to really make headway in any, you know, science, you know, well, any aspect of science, chemistry, biology, or history, you've got to specialize. You've right. got to, you know, pick a narrow area so that you can, you know, at least, you know, try to push the envelope. You're never gonna, you know, make a giant breakthrough necessarily. Or the thought is you're not gonna make a giant breakthrough by being a generalist. Well, I think that's kind of wrong. So you used to think of, I think the term is polymath, someone who, you know, was tended to be, you know, good at a whole bunch of things. So music, math, English, science, you had these, you know, Renaissance men who could, you know, do it all. And, you know, of course, this was tied to the fact that, well, in the olden days, we didn't have as much data to work with. So you could kind of get to the end of your field a bit quicker. Anyways, these days, because of that tendency to specialize, people hyper-focus on a particular topic, that's all they know. And then, well, how are you going to get any original ideas if you're thinking in a way that everyone is already thinking in that field? So let me give you a concrete example of, you know, combining ideas in an interesting way in order to come to an original, maybe more compelling thought. So there's a client we've worked with that has a dry fire laser targeting firearm practice app. And so the idea is for gun owners, and there's a lot in the States, obviously.
One or two.
Yeah. Gun owners have had a bit of an issue in the last year and a half or so of it's an amazing fact, but the U.S. is running out of bullets. Now that's that sounds crazy.
Is that a bad thing?
Well, I can tell you that's a bad thing from the perspective of someone who wants to, you know, do some target shooting or just learn how to use their gun properly so they don't, you know, murder accidentally someone in their home.
Fair enough.
And, you know, and they don't want to spend, like, if a round, a 9mm round was, you know, 22 cents 2 years ago, it's now like a buck. So you can literally blow away hundreds of dollars at the range in a single session. So anyways, this company Strikeman has this solution, and where you just, you know, you point a laser, you can see where it landed, and it's not exactly the same as, you know, shooting an actual bullet, but at least you can get in your target practice and, you know, without spending hundreds of dollars every single time.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I shoot occasionally.
So
if it's a dry fire laser thing, I wouldn't even have to go to a range, or would you have to take this to a range?
No, you wouldn't even have to go to a range. So it comes with a, there's not just the app, it's a, there's a laser cartridge, you insert it into the firearm. When you pull the trigger, a little flash goes off at the, on a little target thing that they send you. You can put it up on a tripod. And you could do this in your living room. You could do it on your back porch. And of course the app is just gonna, you know, record how you're hitting. And if you want, you could turn it into a social thing. Cause, you know, you could, your buddy could be like, okay, I bet I can do better. And then you can enjoy that. I mean, that's a neat piece of technology. Now the story on its own is, I mean, it's timely for, let's say, if I was targeting reporters who were covering say supply chain problems throughout the business world and the economy more generally. That's been an ongoing issue. Inflation's rising, so that's one aspect of it. There's gun culture, society stuff that I can get into. But in this case, the founder is a pretty unique dude. I know some non-gun owners sort of think of gun owners as Yosemite Sam types. In fact, very often gun owners are pretty laid back, measured people. In this case, the founder is a guy who meditates like 5 times a day. There was a time when he was starting the business, he didn't leave his home without meditating for at least a half hour.
Wow.
And how did he pick this up? He didn't, go to some, yoga studio, or mindfulness, early on in his life. He picked this up, out with his family hunting. You're out in the bush for 3 hours at a time. And this, if you got to sit in place, and just wait for something to happen, mindfulness is going to be a trick you will pick up. Meditation is something that you will pick up. So, all right. Well, so we've got technology, guns. That's interesting. Meditation and mental health for entrepreneurs. Okay. This is an interesting combination. So we're able to, pitch out some stories on this. So, it's just one example, but I'm sure you can think of many that, just try to find an original combination.
Yeah. Jonathan, I have a liberal arts degree, which these people used to make fun of, but I call it a cocktail party degree because you can kind of talk with some authority about a lot of things because you learn a lot in a liberal arts setting. You learn about history, you learn about politics, you learn about science, it served me very well because it also made me, I think, a good reporter. And I think it makes me creative and helpful to my clients. Do you have to sell your process to the client? Do they just accept it? This is what MindMelt does. How does that work?
Well, they simply accept it. If I had to explain this process, number one, that would kind of bog down the sales call.
Yeah.
I have to simply assure them, look, we've been in business for a while now. You've seen our work. Here's our case studies. You can take it for granted that, we're people who bring ideas to the table. I call us an ideas factory. And I think that might, on reflection, I'm probably doing us a bit of a disservice because, while we are process driven, factory, entails, it's kind of, stodgy and you're always producing the exact same thing. And so I don't know, I have to come up with a better tagline for, what exactly we are. In terms of, do we have to convince prospects or, that we're creative? If they haven't worked with us, they kind of have to take our word for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too. I always, when I'm onboarding a client, I say, look, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions. And sometimes I have a questionnaire. Sometimes I do it in person with COVID. It's been a lot less in person. And sometimes they'll get frustrated with me because they'll perceive that I'm probably asking the same question in 3 different ways, in 3 different questions. And I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm not trying to be tedious. It's just my way of trying to get them to think about what they do. Like you just said right there, you just thought out loud, man, maybe a factory is not really how we should be perceived, right? So I ask those kind of questions, just like you just ask yourself, to try to get and stimulate that kind of thought. But I have to be careful because you could go overboard, I think, too. If they feel like you're wasting their time or they're getting frustrated, you need to take a few good nuggets and run with them, I assume.
Absolutely. Well, the interview, by the way, we share that background of, journalists who segued into the PR world. That delicate dance of an interview with a client. You can go in with an agenda and a set of questions you'd like to ask, but depending on the answers they give, you may simply decide, this rabbit hole I hadn't considered, it sounds way more interesting. Let's throw some time at that.
Yeah.
So, being able to adjust, ask follow-up questions, but in a way that, seems natural to the client.
Yeah.
That's you know, something you have to do, because otherwise the interview will just seem disjointed and they'll be like, yeah, what happened there? And who is this guy? He's a weirdo.
I think I'd get that anyway. No, that's true. Well, so tell us a little bit in our last few moments here. Tell us a little bit more about MindMeld, if you don't mind.
Oh, terrific. So yeah, we are a PR agency that gets media coverage for tech companies. I selected that niche for us to focus on just because a lot of my journalism in recent years had been, in the tech area. Also, honestly, I find it a little bit difficult to, create stories around sweatpants. All kudos to Lululemon. But, you know, if there's an innovation angle, new is a big part of technology, and also is going to be very corny, but big part of the word news. So we're a company that focuses on innovative companies, getting them media coverage, and we work with companies across the U.S. and Canada. I have a delightfully creative, super smart, super capable team. Every day, I we kick off our morning huddle, and I feel like I'm Captain America in the Avengers, and this is amazing. Like it's so great.
And I wish I had worked for someone like you back in the day when I was not doing my own thing. That sounds like a blast. It sounds fun, and obviously it stimulates creativity. And you're giving people not necessarily permission, but you're just giving them the authority to trust themselves to do their jobs well, it sounds like to me. So Jonathan, tell me really quickly, you've also got a podcast. It's not really a competitor of ours. I don't view anybody as a competitor in the podcast world. I think it just enhances our profession that there's PR podcasts out there. Tell us a little bit about that.
Great. So that's the MindMeld PR Breaking News podcast and vlogcast. And, so that one, in that one, I tend to interview either other PR and marketing professionals and get their takes and share what they've learned. Because, you know, we don't know everything. We know a lot. But, you know, you're always learning. You're always adapting. We talk to reporters about, you know, what they're looking for, how not to pitch a reporter. So it's the what to do and what not to do. And beyond that, occasionally we'll talk to, you know, founders and other, you know, business people who will give a perspective on how public relations relates to, you know, what they're doing or how it helps their company do what they do. So I should mention, I also have it's a bit of a neglected podcast of late, but I do a podcast called The Future Of, which is a bit more general. For example, the future of software, the future of conflict, the future of human rights, the future of health tech. It's a grab bag because I'm interested in a bunch of different things. So I like to talk to interesting people and have cool conversations.
Isn't that the best?
It really is. It really is. We're living in a magical world.
We really are. Every time I get really down on things, and it's easy to get down these days, I start to think about, but yes, how connected are we, you know, and how many things are out there that you can actually learn, and how many people out there. And every now and then, I've said this before on the show, even though it's usually wonderful guests, sometimes I overbook, and sometimes in the morning I groan. I go, oh gosh, I've got to do 3 interviews today. And every time, just about every time, I am so glad because I learned something new, or even made a new friend, or even more rarely, found somebody who could help me get some work or something like that. So it's just a wonderful world we live in. I totally share that world view with you. Jonathan, I'll give you the last word. You might tell everybody about your website and all that stuff. And of course, folks, wherever he says will be in the show notes at prafterhours.com.
Terrific. Our website is mindmeldpr.com. We have a Twitter account, mindmeldpr. Those are probably some of the best places to find us. And I guess I'll leave it at that. Alex, thanks so much for having me on the show.
It's my pleasure. I really enjoyed it. You'll have to come back. I'm sure we just scratched the surface of all the things that you could speak about very, very well. Jonathan Narvi is the founder and CEO of MindMel PR. He was a reporter who covered the tech scene, and he learned the craft of creative storytelling. And now with MindMel, he and his team use these skills to earn media coverage for innovative tech companies. Check out the show notes at prafterhours.com, and you can learn more. And once again, Jonathan, thanks for joining us right here in the virtual lounge.
Thank you.
Oh, you know what that means? Looks like it's last call here at your virtual lounge for PR news, views, and interviews. Don't forget, you can ask me a question anytime. You can do it through our Twitter account, which is @OursPR. Or, even better, you can send me a message vocally. I would love to hear your voice, and I'll answer it on the show. There's a link in the show notes. All you have to do is sign up through Anchor FM. It's free, doesn't take long. And you record your message, I get the message, I will play your audio, just give me your first name and the city you live in, and then I will answer the question to the best of my ability right here on the show. Don't forget, too, if you're enjoying this podcast, you can support it and help increase the frequency and value of the show. Just consider being a sponsor for your brand or your agency or just yourself because you're like, I like this show. Or just drop a few coins in the virtual tip jar. Either way, there's links in the show notes. Please check that out. All of that, of course, being in the show notes where you're listening right now or at prafterhours.com. I see that they're turning up the lights. Last call is over, and I've got to clean up this virtual lounge. And until next time, I'm Alex Greenwood, and you've been listening to PR After Hours on Anchor FM.